Let's take our Bibles. We'll turn first in the Old Testament to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 6, beginning at verse 22. It's found on page 145 in the Pew Bibles. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, one of the books of what we call the Pentateuch, the Law of Moses. Numbers chapter 6. Numbers 6, beginning at verse 22, people of God, hear now the very words of God. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. Now let us turn in the New Testament to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, page 1241, as we begin now a series through the Epistle to the Ephesians. We begin with chapter 1. We'll read the first 14 verses. Our text, our focus, will be on the first two verses of this chapter. Ephesians 1, beginning with verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Thus far, the reading, the Word of God. I invite you to keep your Bibles open as we'll be considering these first two verses. A congregation, there are many religions in the world today. Just drive a little bit north and you'll see quite a few different houses of what are called worship. Now we could divide these religions into a few major groups, but there are so many varieties, so many sects within those groups that the number can be multiplied into thousands, ten thousands, perhaps even more. Now the existence of religions, it just shows us, shows everyone, that God has placed a desire in each human to connect with the divine, to receive a blessing from God. Now, there's much misunderstanding about the divine, who God is, about what this blessing even is, about how to do it. But the very fact of religion, it testifies that God created mankind with an orientation toward him, to worship, to be blessed, even though man has greatly twisted it. Our scripture text this evening brings out God and His blessing of us. What we find, though, here is not some watered-down, feel-good, man-made religion that many in our world promote. Instead, we find a very clear statement of this blessing from where it comes. That God blesses us through Christ. God blesses us through Christ. That's what I proclaim to you this evening. And first we consider, from the first part of verse 1, the ordained representative of Christ. The ordained representative of Christ. Now, children, if I were to ask you where Jesus is right now, what would you say? Well, you'd remember that, well, Jesus ascended into heaven, right? 40 days after He rose again from the dead on Easter Sunday. And you would say then, well, that Jesus is in heaven. Jesus' body is in heaven, not on earth. How then can God bless us through Christ? Well, He uses a representative, His representative, the Apostle Paul. It's one way He blesses us. Now, what's a representative? Well, a representative is someone who acts on behalf of another. Think again, children, if your mother wants your brother or sister to do some chore, maybe vacuum, maybe take out the garbage, maybe whatever, but your brother or sister isn't there, she might tell you, go find your brother, go find your sister, and tell him to do this chore. Your mom's busy doing her work, she sends one of you. And so when you tell the brother or sister, it's you speaking it, but it's not really you telling them, right? You would obey that. Your brother or sister ought to obey that, just as if your mom stood in front of them and told them to do their chores. In that case, listening to a brother or sister, it's the same as listening to your mother. It's even more so with Jesus, who is in heaven, with His representatives here on earth. Now, one of these representatives was, as we read here, Paul, the author of this epistle. He's known as the Apostle Paul, even as we read here in verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Now, children, you remember, but this Paul was not always named Paul. But he was called Saul, wasn't he, at one time? And he came from the city of Tarsus. Saul, his Hebrew name, Paul, his Roman name, as far as we can tell. Paul wasn't always a Christian. In fact, he persecuted the Christians, thinking that by persecuting them, he was doing the will of God. That's what he thought the will of God was. But in God's timing, God changed him. Instead of persecuting Christ Jesus and His followers, he became an apostle of Christ Jesus, a representative. Now that was already after Jesus had ascended into heaven. Jesus caused Saul to see Him. Not some supposed picture of Jesus, but Saul encountered Jesus Christ Himself. And God blessed Saul through Jesus, turning Saul from his unbelief to trust Jesus, to want to serve God the way God wanted him to, according to the will of God. We read that there, by the will of God. Saul became a spokesman, a representative, an apostle. An apostle is one who is sent. God blessed Saul through Christ. Not only was it at that first meeting on the Damascus Road that God blessed Saul through Jesus, but Jesus appeared to Saul at other times, teaching him right doctrine, instructing him. The apostle reveals that in Galatians chapter 1. He was made an ordained representative of Christ. God bless Paul through Jesus, and God blesses all of His people through Jesus. Now the Ephesians, to whom this letter is written, they were blessed through Jesus by Paul's ministry. The apostle lived for some years, the book of Acts tells us, in the city of Ephesus, proclaiming Jesus Christ to them, teaching, instructing, and through Paul, God blessed the people in Ephesus. Many came to repent and believe. During that time, Paul taught them, proclaimed to them. What he taught, what he proclaimed were the words of Jesus. He acted as an apostle. Words he had received from Jesus. God guided Paul so that when he was acting as Christ's representative, as an apostle, the words he spoke to the Ephesians were exactly what Christ Himself wanted spoken. What a blessing. We read how God, again, worked mightily in that town. After a time, the Apostle Paul was told by God to move on from Ephesus to proclaim Christ's words to other people who had not yet heard Jesus so they would come to faith. Although Paul moved on from Ephesus, The saints did not lose God's blessing. This is not a fleeting blessing, even though his representative passed on. And what we read this evening is God's still blessing God's people there in Ephesus by continuing to declare Christ's words to the Christians in Ephesus. What's this document? It's a letter to them. And this blessing begins this letter, sets the stage. God once again is blessing the Ephesian Christians through Christ by means of the Apostle Paul by bringing them God's word. But you know what? This isn't just for the Ephesians back almost 2,000 years ago. It's a blessing for us because we're reading the exact same words the Ephesians read. We've opened up our Bibles. We read what the apostle wrote to the Ephesians. Oh, for them it was in the Greek language, so in that sense it's not exactly the same. For us it's in the English language, but it is the same message. It is the same word. And the Ephesians were blessed by God through the words of Christ that Paul, the representative, the apostle, brought. So are we yet today. This blessing is not stale. It is not expired. Just as God's word is not stale, God's word is not expired, just as Christ has not expired, he is still Lord and King. The ordained representative of God, he brings us Christ's blessing through the means of God's word. Children, the Bible that, well, if you have it in your hands now, the Bible you're holding in your hands that you have at home, it's a copy of what God spoke to his people through the Apostle Paul. It is God's word. Cherish your Bible. Read your Bible. Learn your Bible. Trust your Bible. Obey your Bible. Children, those who are in kindergarten, first grade, that's one reason why you're being taught to read, so you can read God's word. So you can read the words of Jesus Christ given through his representative, his apostle. Read God's word every day. Treasure it. Now, the apostle Paul is the ordained representative of Christ, but there are other persons who are ordained. We think of ministers, pastors. These men too are ordained in the service of Jesus Christ. They are those whom the churches send to study the Bible, the doctrines of the Bible, so that they can come and teach and proclaim the words of Jesus to God's people. Once they're approved by the churches, they're set apart to the office of minister of the word. And yet ministers are not the same as apostles. An apostle received the word of God directly from Jesus by his Spirit. An apostle was inspired. And they aren't around anymore. They were those who had to see Jesus. Now, Paul was an unusual apostle that he saw Jesus after he was ascended, but he saw the risen Jesus. No one else can say that today. No matter what people say, no matter what pictures they might have of Jesus, they have not seen Jesus. But Paul did. But ministers haven't. But instead of bringing new words from Jesus, ministers study the Bible so that we can proclaim to you what is found in the Bible. Not adding, not subtracting from these words, not proclaiming our own words, our own thoughts. We are to say what the Bible says. Because the Bible is the word of God that has come from Christ by means of God's apostles and prophets, by the working of the Spirit. And with that, God continues yet to bless us today, his people, through Christ, by means of his ordained representatives that have written down the word of God, by means of his ordained servants who proclaim and teach the word of God. That's what God has done throughout time. You know, we read from Numbers, didn't we? Numbers 6. If you look there in verse 23, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron and his sons. Who was Aaron? He was a priest. The sons, they were priests, ordained representatives. And through that, they spoke a blessing. They spoke God's word to God's people, commissioned to speak that blessing. A blessing that is very much the same as the blessing that we'll come to hear. Now this evening also we were blessed to witness the sacrament of baptism being administered. That's another duty of God's representatives here on earth. Ministers are ordained to preach the word and administer the sacraments. There's nothing special in the water. No, Maisie could say something. You'd say, well, it's just regular water, a little cold maybe. No, not as warm as others, but it's just regular water. There's nothing special in man, no magic powers. But God has commissioned men to put water upon believers and their children, and with that water to declare God's blessing. It's a special event whereby God wants to show us and impress upon us and assure us and our children of what? His blessing. Not our commitment. His blessing. That's how he starts the epistle. Grace to you and peace. That's how he starts our lives. Maisie, grace to you and peace. God blesses us through Christ. And he does it by means of the ordained representative of Christ. We see that here in this first part of verse 1. But we see more in these verses. As we move to in our second point, we see the special people of Christ. The special people of Christ. So God blesses us. God blesses his people. That's what we read in number 6 again, where the blessing was upon the people of Israel. We read that, the church. We read it here in Ephesians 1 also. God does not bless everyone. In one sense, he sends the sun, he sends the rain upon the just and the unjust alike. But this blessing, it's not for everyone. We find out the ones whom God blesses in the second part here of verse 1. They are the ones to whom the apostle wrote this letter. To the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. What we see here are two descriptions of characteristics and two descriptions of location. Characteristics and location. The apostle first calls his hearers saints. Now we recently talked about that when we considered God's communicable attribute of holiness, of righteousness. That word saint, the root is holy, set apart. Now in our translation, our language, saints is a noun. The apostle didn't use a noun, he used an adjective, a plural adjective. But we don't really have that in English. And so we translate it as a noun. That's what works best. But as an adjective, we think of that, you English people out there, it gives an insight into how we are to understand that word. It describes who we are. We are those who are holy. Those who are set apart. And whenever you have something that's set apart, there's something from which it's set apart. Something to which it's set apart. Again, we saw that some weeks ago. This is what we have before us with the saints. From what are they set apart? Well, the ungodly and wicked in Ephesus. Evil in general. Unto what are they set apart? Christ Jesus. The theme of being set apart from wickedness, set apart unto Christ Jesus, that will reappear throughout this epistle. Paul's laying the groundwork here. This is a vital theme, a thread. Now, Ephesus, what do we know about Ephesus? It was a substantial city. It was filled with wickedness and idolatry. Acts tells us there was someone there who was possessed by demons there in Ephesus. The city contained temples to worship the Roman emperor as well as the false god Diana Artemis. When the apostle Paul first visited the city of Ephesus and proclaimed Jesus Christ to them, many people believed, and as a result, again, Acts 19 tells us, they brought forth and they burned books of magic and sorcery. A very extensive amount of that. That's what they were stuck in before the gospel came. It's to the Christians in this city where there's still all that magic and sorcery and evil and demons. The apostle is writing to the special people of Christ there. Those people God blesses. Those who are set apart, the saints. But don't think that they're set apart because of something they've done. No, as we'll read in this epistle, it's God who has set them apart. through the work of Jesus Christ by His Spirit. But they are saints. They are holy ones. They are set apart ones because of God's will. Just as Paul was an apostle by the will of God, so these saints, these holy ones, are by the will of God. And again, we read it. We'll come to that in future weeks, Lord willing. God calling out of the sinful world unto Himself a peculiar people who will show forth a life that's different from those around them. A life that, again, Acts 19, burns magic books, burns that worldly idolatry. They're different. And congregation, the same is said of you and me. You're gathered here this evening to worship God. In response to God calling us, we've gathered to worship. We are saints. And that is to show forth, not only now, but throughout this week. You're saints not only on Sunday, you are saints every day of the week. The apostle did not write, those who are saints on Sunday. No, you are saints. You are set apart. And like these saints in Ephesus, it's wherever you are. Children and young people, again, it's not just on Sunday you need to reflect God's holiness. It's Monday through Saturday and Sunday. You stand out from the wicked in the world, from those who practice magic arts and sorcery, from those who live sinful lives. You are always a saint, Sunday through Saturday. Therefore, by God's grace, always live like a saint, Sunday through Saturday. Always remember, children, by God's grace, you are God's special people. Now, this evening we witnessed a child being set apart. Set apart from the world, distinguished from the children of unbelievers, and received into the Christian church through baptism. What a wonderful event baptism is. Now, Jake and Paige, raise this child. As you're raising this child, as you're raising your other children too, set apart. Set apart unto God from the world. Parents, teach your children to pray. Read to them the Bible. Educate. Have them educated in the Lord. Saints. The other character description, characteristic that the apostle brings out here is those who are faithful. Now, while saint describes somewhat of a calling, a lifestyle that shows up in a lifestyle, faithful points more to doctrine. Now, you say, well, doesn't that talk about lifestyle? Well, the word he used, believing, faith. You know, that's more the intent it seems Paul had here. Once again, the Apostle Paul brings out a contrast with those who are around these hearers. His hearers believed in God rather than Diana, Artemis. They didn't worship at the temple of the emperors. They didn't worship at the temple of Artemis. They believed in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. They believed in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, their Lord. They believed in the Holy Spirit. Those whom God blesses are His special people of Christ. Believers in the triune God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Their faith is in God through Jesus. So much so that they are believing in the midst of an unbelieving, faithful in the midst of an unfaithful culture. They hold fast to this only God and Savior through faith, even though it means hardship, persecution, even though it means living a life, again, as Lord willing will come to, husbands and wives, children and parents, employers and employees, lives that stand out from the world. The Apostle Paul, in his first letter to the Corinthians, speaks of fighting wild beasts in Ephesus, in this city. The Christians knew the consequences of believing in Jesus Christ. Yet by God's grace, they were faithful in Christ Jesus. The blessing comes. Can that be said of us? We're tempted, aren't we, to be afraid of others. Maybe not afraid of our physical lives so much, but of jobs, or tempted to be afraid of what they think of us, what they'll say about us. If they know I'm a believer, if they know not only a believer, but that I really believe this stuff and live it. That my life is changed by it. Faithful. set apart, not joining in their activities, not joining in their partying, not joining in the pornography, not joining in the drinking, the drugs. Saints, faithful. Mocked, scorned, teased, yes. Some of you more than others. But you know this. Trust Jesus. Hold fast to Him. Before we move on to our third point, I want to draw attention to that last phrase, in Christ Jesus. Now, in Ephesus describes the physical location of the Christians on this earth. In Christ Jesus describes, so to speak, their spiritual location. That is, while anyone, Christian or not, can readily see, oh, someone here is in Dutton, someone there is in Ephesus, someone there is whatever, only those who see with the eyes of faith can understand what in Christ Jesus means. And that phrase, in Christ Jesus, he uses it first here. It's used by the Apostle Paul throughout this book, throughout his writings. It's rich with meaning. We read from the form for baptizing infants. Now, I had an advantage because, see, I prepared the sermon, so I knew I was going to say this. But you read through that form again, wow, it talks a lot about being in Christ, in Jesus. That's something woven through the Scriptures. It's something in our Heidelberg Catechism. First question and answer. What's your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own, but I belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what that phrase, in Christ Jesus, means. Belonging to Jesus. Connected to Jesus. United to Jesus. Finding in Jesus Christ all that we need, physically and spiritually, no matter what the temple to the emperor, the temple to Artemis, or the wild beasts may say. This is our identity. This is who we are. We are saints in Christ Jesus, faithful believers who are in Christ Jesus. This reality, not just something in our mind. It's a spiritual reality, and it results in so many other things that Paul will unfold throughout this epistle. Never forget, congregation. Children, young people, young adults, you are the special people of Christ. So there's a blessing to you. God blesses us through Christ. Well, let's then move in our third point to what these divine blessings are. Verse 2, the divine blessings of Christ. Verse 2 says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, just as we noticed two characteristics, saint and faithful, believing, in two locations, Ephesus in Christ Jesus. So in verse 2 here, what we find stated are two blessings, or a twofold blessing, and two blessers, two givers of the blessing. Now as we get into this, let's notice first, this is a statement the Apostle Paul makes. He's not praying this. He's not asking God for it. He's not wishing it. What we find here is an actual dispensing of the blessing. Paul declares a blessing, which he may do, he is authorized to do, because he is the ordained representative of Christ. This isn't Paul blessing. This is a grace to you and peace from Paul. But as Paul, he has the ordination, the commission to bless, grace and peace to you from God. That's amazing. And so don't doubt, you receive this blessing, people of God. God blesses us through Christ. And we have this even in our corporate worship service, don't we? Think of the blessing at the beginning and the end, the bookends. Start and what cease the corporate worship service. They're similar. What we read here and what marks the beginning and end. Those blessings aren't a prayer. But God's ordained servant, commissioned by God, speaks them from God. And so don't treat those blessings as a prayer. That is, it's more fitting to have our eyes open during the blessings, the salutation, we call it, the benediction. More fitting to have our eyes open because it's not a prayer, it's God blessing. But what is this blessing? First of all, first part of it is grace. One way of thinking of grace, some describe it as God's riches at Christ's expense. That's a good way of thinking about it, but grace is God's being favorable toward us. Grace is God's favorable disposition toward us that results in Him doing things for us. Grace is God's looking upon us with favor and acting toward us then out of that favor. That's not something we deserve. Children, we don't deserve God's grace, do we? Because we've sinned. Just as children, you don't expect your father to show favor to you when you've disobeyed him, right? You expect something else, right? Correction. So we should not expect in ourselves for God to be favorable. The favor God shows us is something undeserved. Even more so, it's the opposite of what we deserve. Because of our sin, we deserve God's anger. We deserve God's wrath. We deserve hell because of our sin, but He's gracious. We think even of the child who's baptized this evening. By nature, she's not innocent. Baptism isn't saying this child's innocent. No, we even read. We testify. This baptism testifies, yes, I'm a sinner. I need God's grace. Grace is the fountainhead of all the other blessings we receive from God. We deserve wrath. Any blessing we receive from God is because of His grace. We don't deserve it. What a comfort then to hear this right at the get-go. And this, you know, this reflects well on our Heidelberg Catechism, reflects well again on baptism. Beginning of our lives, beginning of our confessions, beginning of this epistle and many epistles, we hear a word of grace. God's grace is looking upon you favorably because of Christ. It was Christ who perfectly obeyed God, even to the point of offering Himself as a sacrifice for sin, taking upon Himself our guilt, our sin, God's wrath against our sin, even unto death, and then rising on the third day. God forgives all those who entrust themselves to Jesus. That's grace. And that holds us up, doesn't it? When we're distressed, when we're confused, when we're sorrowing, hear this. God declares His grace to us. That's why, as we go through the ups and downs of life, don't stay away from church. I just don't feel like it today. You need it. I need it. We need to hear that grace. Grace in Christ. God is pleased with you. You will not find this out in the world, believer. It's only found through Christ. It only comes to the special people of Christ. And grace is the source of all these other blessings we receive from God. The Apostle Paul, though, also then doesn't just say grace. He also moves on. He says, and peace. Peace is the situation that results from grace. Peace is the calmness, the friendship, the serenity, the wholeness that things are well. If grace is God's attitude toward us, then the full result of that grace is peace. Don't we need peace? And only God gives it, and He gives it out of His grace. The world doesn't have that peace. The peace which God, through Jesus Christ, gives. The grace and peace that are proclaimed to you. For the peace that God gives is that which no human, no event in nature, not even an angel, can give or destroy. And we talked a bit ago, last week, wasn't it, about joy in the Christian life? The devil can't take that away. Those wild beasts in Ephesus couldn't take it away. It comforts us in this life. It carries us through even into the life to come. Peace. Part of that is friendship with God. No conflict between God and us. No wrath of God against us because of our sin. Because Christ has paid for them. Peace is possessing eternal life, even here on earth, which we enter into more fully when we die. And fully when we're raised from the dead. Peace is being rooted and built up in Christ so that when the storms of life come, we aren't destroyed. But He holds us fast. The Apostle Paul says, grace to you and peace upon the special people of Christ. And we have these blessings declared upon us, don't we? At the beginning and at the end of our worship services, as God's representative lifts his hands and declares them. Sometimes the exact words of this blessing, sometimes the exact words of Numbers 6, sometimes one of the other blessings in there. To the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. Again, even though the apostle is writing this, he doesn't give it from himself. He's a representative, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. God is the source of this blessing. He's the one who created the heavens and the earth. He's the one who governs and sustains all things. He's the one who has given his Son, gives his Spirit. God brings about grace and peace. This is not a man-made blessing. And we think of that with religion, don't we? The Pope in Rome, he can't bless you from his own resources. The church can't bless you. Some other spiritual guru or whatnot, you yourself can't do it. The world around us knows a blessing is needed. They don't know the right blessing. They don't know the depth of their need, but they know something's wrong. And they seek to get that something from any source, from any object, any person that might grant some peace, some favor, some whatever. But they're looking in all the wrong places. Young adults, as you think through questions, as you wonder, you've been raised in the church, you've been raised, well, what about this? What about that? Go ultimately. What is the source of the blessedness they provide? What is the blessedness? Are they lying? Yes. They can't get blessing from themselves. Again, drugs, pornography, pleasure, money, fame, it's empty. There's no peace there. And that's filtering into the church, where there's a temptation to seek getting a blessing through means other than Christ and His Word. To have a certain program, or this or that, or some gimmick or method. If we can only just involve the youth or some other part, we'll get people to attend. This is what we need. We need Christ to bless us. We need the blessing that's already promised to us in the Word of God that comes by the clear preaching of God's Word. We need the sacraments where God shows us and assures us of His favor in Christ. Not gimmicks, not new measures, not programs. All things come to us from God, and the blessings of grace and peace come to us because of the Lord Jesus Christ, through Him. He not only made it possible for those who are great sinners against God, mired in sin, misery, and death, to receive grace and peace, He has actually brought it to pass. Paul doesn't say here, well, maybe grace will be to you, maybe peace, maybe if you do this, maybe. No, he says, grace and peace from our God to you. From our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that seems dull to a lot of people. To the world, what's so special about this preaching? What's so special about this declaration? What's so special about baptism? It's all ordinary to human eyes. The eyes of faith, it's precious. It's something extraordinary. It doesn't come through multimedia glitz or stirring emotionalism. It comes from God through Christ by means of the ordained representative declaring it. It's number 6, what the priests were to declare. That grace and peace. Jake and Paige, in our dark world, in the brokenness that we have, the sin, even our own sin, it is so wonderful to have God's blessing upon you and your kids. Raise your child, all your children, not in fear. Raise them in faith. Keep doing that. Having God's blessing. Congregation, God blesses us through Christ. Sit under the ministry of Christ. Trust in Jesus and be blessed. May God receive all the praise. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for blessing us. Grace and peace from you, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. What else do we need? And may we then be a blessing to others. Have that filter in our life as we we hope to see through Ephesians, in our relationships in the church, in the home, in society. Lord, you're so good to us. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.